I've been preaching to you on the Holy Ghost. Just we did over in Dallas. Of course, they hadn't been getting as much as the series like you guys have. And really, one of the most important things about living in the power of the Spirit and living in the Holy Spirit is learning to hear Him. We talked about that the last time we came together. Is that it was important. And every time we're talking, is that we're here in the New Testament especially, is learning to hear the Holy Spirit. Even in the Old Testament, when we began, is Abraham believed God. Why? Because he got a word from God. He got a word from the Holy Spirit. He got a word from the Spirit of the living God, which transformed his life. Amen? This is what's happening. And this is happening to you every day. And what I want to bring to you importantly today is that it's the most important thing for you to be able to do is to daily walk in a conversation with the Holy Spirit, with the living God, to daily walk in His presence. Not to get through here and, this be your one cold snack a week, but to be able to come in daily, every morning, and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I am rejoicing and I'm glad in it. Because this is who you are. You are a one who dwells in the kingdom of God. You remember when John came, when Jesus came, what's the first thing they said? Is that the kingdom of God is come nigh to you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hey people, the kingdom of heaven, it is nearer now than when we first began. Amen? It's nearer now than when you first began. God is doing a mighty work in you. Quit checking your outward circumstances. Well, it's just so much affects so much of what I am and what I do. Every part of your outward circumstance. Listen, there's a difference between living according to your circumstances and living in spite of your circumstances. Amen? I'm telling you. Romans 8. And we're going to get into Acts chapter 16 today, but beginning in Romans 8 for a moment, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now I want you to meditate on that for a minute, is that there is therefore now no condemnation. Good. Man, that's great. If I were to end with that, you'd just love that, wouldn't you? There is no condemnation. Yeah! Say, yeah! Yeah! Say, I'd like you to participate. Because otherwise you go to sleep on me. Amen? I mean, if I don't put 7 chairs out, you guys won't even know what to do. Or is it 12 chairs? Have we gotten to 12 yet? Okay, no. All right, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us. That includes me. Who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. Okay, here's the caveat. If you're not walking according to the flesh, that's not talking about not sinning. No. What he's talking about is this. Because here, listen. If you roll off of Romans chapter 7, where he was just finishing up talking about the fact that he couldn't do what he wanted to do. You remember? Those things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I don't want to do, oh man, those are the things that I do. Who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? Oh Lord God, help! There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh. Okay, so if we just come off of that flesh problem, you remember? Okay, now follow me. Nod your head if you're following me. He just got through talking about his problem with the flesh. Does anybody relate to that problem? The things I want to do, I can't do. And the things I don't want to do, those are the things I do. Doggone it. It's frustrating. Anybody here frustrated? I see that hand. Praise God. Yeah, everybody. You're all in that position in some form or another, in one place or another. And you know what? God leaves you there because He handles like one thing at a time. The guy is just not a multitasker. Yeah, we'll get to Acts in a minute. I just always like to start off with something else. I'm like Joel Osteen. Like, start off with something funny. Well, I don't know how funny this is, but I'm telling you is that when you're coming off the flesh and the understanding that you can't perform, and the only performance you do is a mess. Can you nod your head? Yes, amen. Yes, amen. Yeah, I understand there are a few things that come by that, you didn't kick the dog. Well, good. Praise the Lord. You didn't swear at your coworker today. Yet. Or you didn't yell at your wife, you didn't yell at your kids, or whatever you didn't do. But all of a sudden you tripped over it and did something else. And so all of these things that we're struggling with the flesh, forget chapter numbers. You come into what appears to be chapter 8. It's just a continuation of what we were talking about. There is therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to this problem that we just described. In other words, that problem you just described doesn't rule your walk with God. The fact that you can't do anything, and the things you try to do, you can't do, and the things you want to do, you can't do, and the things you don't want to do, that's the things you do. If that lifestyle and that thought pattern, and you're dealing with that in your daily life, if that rules you, then you're going to live under condemnation. But what he's saying in that first verse is that if you don't live according to that problem, but rather according to the Spirit and what God has done in you through Christ Jesus. He said, those of us who are in Christ Jesus, but there's some folks who are still walking according to the flesh. You're still bound up by the fact that you're not what you thought you ought to be. But what he is saying here in what is, I will just say chapter 8. What he's saying here is that, okay, now begin to look for the Spirit to be your strength and your completion. Rather than looking in the mirror of your flesh, which seems to and does fail all the time. Is anybody following? Okay. If you're not, do I need to come back and get you? So remember that you don't start out, you always kind of go back and get a context, not even from chapter numbers. Let me tell you about when you're studying the Bible. Don't always just start at a chapter number. Go kind of back and forth from the beginnings and the ends of what appears to be chapters and get a context for what he's been talking about. Take a running start at whatever it is you're looking at. Maybe you found a scripture that was, that's good. Well, find out what he was talking about. He might have been talking about, sliced bread, and you thought he was talking about, zucchini. All right? There may be something that's there that you need to discover. So what I'm telling you is, please, go back and kind of take a running back and forth on scriptures when you're, studying. And so what I'm sharing with you today is the fact that you are a living in the Spirit. And though you have a flesh, and though we have chair number one, which is wicked, beyond belief, and then we've had try to measure up, which is chair number two, and then, then the church helps you kind of get into that mode and everybody behave ourselves, then you start living like that. And you think that's Jesus. You think that's Christianity. And it's not. Christianity is between you and the Holy Spirit. Amen? Christianity is not how you, first of all, not how you live face to face with your brothers and sisters. Because you'll just put on a mask just to keep from killing people. Isn't that right? Huh? I mean, it's just a lot of trouble. Sometimes it's just a lot of trouble to be with people. Anybody noticed that before? It's just a lot of trouble to be with people. You got to behave yourself, because, you just assume just blow them off or be mad at them or yell at them, but the problem is they respond. Or somebody saw it, and they want to respond. Well, you shouldn't have talked to that so-and-so like that. Don't. And it's just about an hour and a half, about as long as we can stand it. And then we just go on home. Amen? You mean I got to eat lunch with these people? No, the agape feast is, that's a good one. You're going to stay for another 2 hours with the same people. They're making me. You know? And then sometimes, you know, somebody put something in that dish there, and I didn't like that, and they didn't make it the way I make it, and all that kind of thing. It's just tough to be around people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But God said He made everyone for a specific purpose in the body, and you need them. And you need them. Amen? This is so good. Because what I'm going to tell you about is, again, about how it is to follow the Holy Spirit. Not so God's happy with you. He's already happy. Amen? God just happy with you. He just thinks you're just wonderful. Amen? I mean, you know, He likes that smell. He really does. I said He likes that smell. He really does. He's happy with you. He is just so happy with you. Listen, because He sent Jesus to die for you. The Father Himself loveth you. I want you to say that. The Heavenly Father loves me. My Father loves me. Amen. He really does. He just loves you. He just wants to just come and hug your neck. Amen. Just like that prodigal son coming home, and he ran out to meet him and hugged his neck. That's the Father for you. Amen? And it's like every day. You know, it's not like he's mad at you because you messed up that day. He's always looking for you at the end of the day. You know, he's always looking for you. You know, where's my sister at? Where's she at? Yeah, Patsy? What? Is that right? Yeah, where's Patsy? Where is she? I'm looking for her. You know, he's looking for you every day. Yeah, he's just looking for you. He's just hoping you'll show up and not run off and go do something else, you know, and ignore me. Amen? God doesn't want you to ignore him. Amen? Hallelujah. He wants you to go ahead and come in every day. He really does. He wants you to come in every day. You know, even if you're down in Beeville. Beeville, Reggie? Beeville? Isn't that funny? Living in Beeville. Isn't there a movie like that? Beeville? And even in Beeville, he wants to come find you. God's down there. You know, he's got an agent down there with you. He's just hanging out. Actually, he comes down all himself. He stands outside and he's looking for you. Amen? He really is. He loves you so much. Amen. This is good. Listen, okay. Y'all get some of that? Okay, you happy? You happy? You thrilled? You know that God loves you? And he's transforming you. That's what he's doing. And he's using the Holy Spirit to come in and change you. He's using the Holy Spirit to daily cause you, number one, to change. Number two, he's just leading you around. Because you're a gospel machine. Amen? Do you know that's what you're all about? I mean, you're not here to build widgets. Or fighter jet aircraft. Killing machines is what I like to call them. You're not here to build killing machines. You're actually here to demonstrate the love of God. Amen? Now, Greg's kind of like you. He builds another kind of killing machine. It's called a Huey. I guess his is a little better than yours because his is supposed to pick up injured people, you know, sometimes. That's just hypocrisy, okay? We kill them with one machine and then we pick them up with another machine. That's right. All right, yeah. See, that's not the purpose here. That's not the purpose here for you to cart, you know, tons and tons of stuff around on a railroad. So Paul quit that job. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now he's just full-time ministry. Amen. Amen. Isn't that good? Amen. Your job's not even to take care of babies. Let the mamas take care of their own babies. Amen. I think mamas ought to take care of their own babies, don't you? But you know what? You're out there. You're just in between people. You know, everybody's out there in between people. And you know what's great? It's because you get to be a demonstration of the Holy Spirit because you have a relationship with God. You're just like a little radio station all by yourself. You just tuned into the Holy Spirit and you just turn up loud right out there in the middle of everywhere you are. That's who you are and that's what you are. You know that's what you are? You're just a little radio station all by yourself. Just a demonstration. You know, you're a light. That's what you are. You know, he didn't say be the light. He said you are the light. Amen? If you're filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, you are the light. He didn't say go do something. All he wants you to do is begin to worship and to magnify Him and to praise Him. Because that's who you are. That's what you are. Do you believe that's what you are? That's what you are. So you need to walk around thanking God for it. Amen? Walk around believing it. Amen? Well, I hope we never have people sitting up on these front rows. Well, couldn't come up and see y'all. This way I can come see everybody on the back row. Hey, Chad. What's up? Praise the Lord. All right, now look over at Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 6. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. So you remember when we first started talking about this, we were talking about Noah. We talked about God in the garden. Talked about Noah. Talked about Abraham, Moses. All heard God. Now we're talking about how the Holy Spirit indwells His people. And Paul is out ministering from place to place. We've seen him be delivered in a number of ways. We've seen the Holy Spirit speak to Peter with respect to the table set down before him and eat the unclean thing. And no, not so, Lord. He said, well, don't you call unclean what I called clean. And he began to share the gospel with the Gentiles. Now listen, here we have Paul going about the region. Right now he begins in his own Near East section of the world. It says, now when they had gone, verse 6 of Acts 16, had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. They're forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Well, it sounds to me like the Holy Ghost was speaking in some manner. He was communicating to them that that was not His desire. That it was not His direction. That's powerful to know when the Holy Spirit has forbidden something, isn't it? Listen, I want to talk to you about that. Is the Word of God is powerful. And you're reading the Word of God. You're reading the Scriptures. But not only are you reading the Scriptures, but you are spending time daily worshiping the Lord. It's spending time daily, as I've indicated earlier, having a conversation with the Spirit of God. Not just when you get up in the morning and then you walk out the door, shut the door behind you, and you're into your day. But daily, all day. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. What does that mean? Walk around, don't stop. Perfect. Pray with, how do you do that? You know, well, first of all, you don't close your eyes when you drive. Don't close your eyes and don't fold your hands when you're driving. But you know what? You can still pray. You can still pray when you're driving. You ought to be praying. You'll be praising, thanking Him when you see, you're not leaving His presence. Amen? You're not leaving His presence. And there's a means which the Lord uses, because that relationship, that talk, that communication back and forth. You know, how do you get to know someone unless you're talking to them? You can read a letter from them, but then once you begin to talk to them, there are conversations that go on even in letters, and of course in our day by emails and texts and all kinds of things. But I tell you what, there ain't nothing like the real thing. In fact, some of these circumstances where people meet people over the internet, they think it's the cat's meow. They think it's the great thing. And then all of a sudden, they meet them. And I mean, maybe you've been talking to somebody for the last 6 months, and it's all great. But once you meet them in person, and I don't mean just because of what they look like, that might be great. It's just having that one-on-one, that face-to-face, that fellowship together, then it's just like, it's over. It's either on or it's over. Because That face-to-face is the relationship. The relationship is the face-to-face. The relationship is one-on-one. The relationship is not letters, even though that can be a beginning and that can be a help. Actually, a relationship can carry on with letters after you know that person face-to-face, after you've dwelt with that person and been with that person. That's where you can have that relationship. Then you know what is being said behind those words, behind those letters. But what I'm saying to you is this: the Word of God is powerful, and the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself through the Word. But you must have a time when you're spending daily time with the Holy Spirit, worshiping and thanking Him and praising Him and speaking to Him in words and songs and spiritual songs, praising Him and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is how you have a relationship. You've heard Pastor Jim talking about it, spending hours in worshiping the Lord, worshiping, spending time together. And you know, if you're not sitting there with your Bible on your lap, you don't have to have, you can be everywhere and every place. And I'm telling you what, the Spirit is amazing, because you can be praising God and doing calculus. I look at Paul because he's a mathematical genius. He can spin plates, worship God, and work calculus all at the same time. I don't know if he can add the guitar to that, but what I'm telling you is that you can worship God, and you know, and you don't have to take time out from what you're doing. Amen. You don't have to take time out from what you're doing. You can actually pray in tongues. There he goes again. You can actually pray in tongues and worship God and not take a thing away from the work that you're doing. Amen? Because if any man speaketh in an unknown tongue, he speaks not unto men, but unto God. He says, his understanding is unfruitful. That is, in other words, you're not talking to yourself. You're not attempting to understand yourself. It's a gift from God to worship and to praise Him and to fellowship with Him. Amen? So what I'm encouraging you with today is that this is the way to build yourself up, to constantly, daily maintain that relationship with the Lord. Because it's not like you're going to go out in the middle of the day and all of a sudden, oh, God, where are you? You know, I got trouble. Or it sets your mind. It sets your mind. It rules over your mind. It causes you to walk with authority over your mind. How many know your mind wanders? Your mind will go off. Listen, your mind will go off on its own. And it'll just go off and do whatever the world presents for it to do. But as you're ruling over your mind and declaring the love of God and worship and praise and thanksgiving, your mind is ruled. Your mind is disciplined. Because you've set your will to praise Him. You've set your will to worship God. When trouble comes, Jesus already addressed it. When you have a day that's bumping along, and how many of the trouble usually kind of somehow comes up? Something shows up. Had something like that yesterday. Had something show up yesterday. Got a phone call. First thing out of the person's mouth was, I got some really bad news. What do you do with that? You didn't even know what it is, but you know it involves you because they called you. I don't know, you know, it depends on what they want, but he said, I got some really bad news. But you know what? I'm thankful that I've been meditating on the Lord and worshiping Him and praising Him. And you make a constant practice of that, and you begin to change the way you respond. You begin to listen to me. You begin to change the way you respond. Not you, but it's just the way you respond begins to change. Because your confidence is in the Holy Ghost. Your confidence is in what the Holy Spirit has done. First of all, in you, but second of all, in every situation that somebody may come to you with. Amen? If somebody comes to you with a situation, don't you think God knows they're coming? And He's already prepared you for that. Because you've been spending time with Him. You've been spending time worshiping Him and praising Him. You have a foundation built. You don't just sink into the mud when somebody calls you with a bad report. Hallelujah. Amen? All of a sudden you discover that, you know, then some of you, I know you can testify to this, is that when people used to call you with stuff, you used to just tremble. Or when people would call and they'd start sharing something, you'd say, oh God, what am I going to do now? But you've come to a place worshiping Him, and when somebody shares something with you, and it's not great news in the natural, you just first thing you're doing is checking with the Holy Spirit. You know, your mind isn't wandering off and saying, what's the worst situation that could happen here? What you know, and wondering, how in the world am I going to pay for that? Or how in the world am I going to help somebody with that? They're coming to me. What am I going to do with it? I just had to pitch this off to Pastor Jim or Pastor Dave. You know, no, uh-uh. You're ready to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with this? You sent it to me. What am I doing? See, and you've come to that place, and some of you, like I said, you can say this, is that you know the difference. You know that there's a difference in the way that you respond to trouble. Anybody like that? Show of hands will do. You know that there's a difference in the way that you respond to trouble than you used to because of the fact there's confidence in the Spirit. And I'm going to go to Romans 5. Keep your finger in Acts. And I probably do this every week, don't I? Go to Romans 5. Keep your finger there in Acts 16. Because Romans 5 is really powerful in this respect, because it shows you the peace of God that you have through Christ Jesus being born again. But it also begins to take you on a little trek into the additional benefits of your warranty. Don't title this the warranty, whoever does the titling. You have to speak out loud, you know. Don't make this, you know, people are looking for little keywords that they can stick on the front of the tape. But there are certain aspects of this warranty, certain aspects of this Christianity, of the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may not realize that you are entitled to and you have. And Romans chapter 5 does a good job of kind of giving a little synopsis here. Because it talks about how that transformation begins to take place as you step into and receive of the grace that God has provided. Amen? And that's for every one of you. That's for every one of us. Is that He has provided for every one of you this power, this authority, and this provision. Amen? I have full provision. You have full provision for every circumstance. Therefore, verse 1 of chapter 5 in Romans, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, good. Amen. Everybody agree with that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Good. Yeah. I'm confident. I'm born again. Going to heaven. Got my fire insurance. Got my policy right here. By whom also, people don't read this. By whom also, everybody say also. What's that mean? There's more. It's like Jesus, you know, He told the disciples, you know, breathed on them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Then 40 days later, He's leaving. And He says, now don't go anywhere, there's more. He said, don't go anywhere, there's more. Don't leave town, there's more. Back here, verse 2, by whom also we have access. Everybody say access. How many times have we done this? I only see you once a month, so. We have access. I like access. Access is good. That means you got the keys. That means you can get in, run around. I like access. So, we also have access by faith into this grace. There's something we have, this grace. There's something about this grace that we have. Because, I mean, it's the key to everything. You know, it's kind of like we have free reign of the whole palace. We can run around everywhere. Amen? We can go everywhere. Full freedom. We're like the king's kids. Like some of these kids are just running around everywhere in here. They find every nook and cranny. We got to, you know, there's some kids we lost when they were 5 and we didn't find them until they were 8. You know, they've been around here so long, you know, and we've got little nooks and crannies kids can hide in. Keep a handle on your kids. I think Nathan's got one he doesn't know about. I think we got it. Yeah. I think you had one you lost up here. I bet that was Reggie Kelly. I know he left Lydia up here one time. Anyway, all right. Now, so by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's provision. That's His provision. We rejoice in the expectation. That word hope is talking about an expectation that is fervent and fixed and solid. It's like, you know, when somebody promises you something, you know they're good for it, and it's showing up. And you know it's showing up. Payday's coming. You know it's showing up. You know that guy's good for it. See? He says that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The glory of God is constantly coming and flowing into us. That glory that we talk about in chair number 6, hope I got that right, that glory is always coming. That expectation is always coming. It's not like for you to say, well, I wonder if I'm ever going to get there. No, you have full expectation because it's not up to you. It's up to the Holy Spirit. It's up to the power of God, Him who loved you and has empowered you. That's what He's doing. He's spending His days and nights empowering you. And you just, what He wants you to do is to worship Him and thank Him for it and to walk in it. Now, keep going here. And not only that, but there's more. That means there's more. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations. You're supposed to let out a cheer. Also, sorry, I forgot the also. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations also. That's another also. You know, that's the same also that He used back there when we said we had access. So the access to the grace of God also includes the rejoicing in tribulation. You know what? You get to rejoice in tribulations. You're not like the rest of the world that whines and complains in tribulation. You're not like the rest of the world that whines and complains in chair number 5. Amen? Because it doesn't affect me. If everything's falling apart, it doesn't affect me. Well, of course, you know, everybody's got a flesh that when you pinch it, you know, it hurts. I understand that. God understands that. But what He's trying to do is bring you in out of that realm of living where everything that hurts you takes precedence over everything else. That everything that comes against you and causes some kind of tribulation or pain is the thing that all of a sudden is 100% of my focus is me and my pain. But what He's doing is saying, I love you. And every day, I'm providing for you. No matter who or what comes against you, I am with you, for you, and making provision for you. And the expectation that you have is an expectation that I have never failed, will never fail, and I will produce in you great fruit and blessing. Now, what is that fruit and blessing? That fruit and blessing is, first of all, a relationship with Him that will never allow you to be destroyed and never allow you to go beneath a place of rejoicing and thanksgiving. Amen. Not only that, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work patience. Was I yelling? I'm sorry. Knowing this. As you're walking with Him and worshiping Him according to the Word. Yes. Glory in tribulation. You can read it. It's right in there. Glory in tribulation. That's right. See, she's getting this. Glory or rejoice in tribulations. We rejoice in tribulations. Amen? Did I say that too fast? We rejoice in tribulations. Not only that, we rejoice in tribulations also. Okay, what chair is that? 5, 6. 4, 5, 6. Yeah, somewhere close to there.
5.5.
Yeah. They have 6. Okay. All right, now, so knowing this, that tribulations work patience. See, in other words, he's giving you some evidence of the progression here. Tribulations produce patience. They work patience. Why? Because sometimes they're not over quick. Sometimes they're not over in 30 minutes, like on television. How many are used to television trouble? Television troubles are all over in 30 minutes. Certainly an hour. Knowing this, that tribulations work patience, and patience produces experience. Produces experience. I begin to have experience in watching God work. God likes you to have experience watching Him work. He's working patience, working experience, and experience produces hope. What is that hope? That expectation again. That expectation that God has already got it. He's got you in His hand. He's got the situation. And He has got that there for one purpose or another. Whether it's to expose sin, sometimes it's to expose sin. Amen? Sometimes it's to expose sin. That's fine. And when you see sin, what do? Rejoice and thank God that He's forgiven you. Repent. Father, thank You that I just... Thank You that You just showed me that, and I just thank You that You're destroying me. Don't get guilty over it. Don't get guilty. You are guilty. You are guilty. But don't just live in a state of guilt that is still. When we talk about guilt, we're talking about an emotional state of penance. Penance. That is, I'm beating myself. I'm going to be guilty for at least, 3 weeks. Beat myself up. What a colossal waste of time. Don't you love the word colossal? Colossal. It means huge. It's a huge waste of time. Guilt is a huge waste of time. I told you that before, I'll tell you again. That's Bible talk. I've told you before and I'll tell you again. It's a colossal waste of time. Okay, so, and patience produces experience, and experience produces hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. That is, He's good for His word. Amen? Now, look over here. 16:6. We now got to quit. So, look at Acts 16:6. So, when they'd gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So, again, I'm talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You are now in a place where trouble comes, somebody comes up with a bad thing, and you are now able to listen to the Holy Spirit even in the middle of trouble. They're out in the middle of the wilderness. They're trying to figure out where to go. They don't know where they're going to go next. And let's go over here to Asia, And the Holy Spirit forbade them. I don't know how He did it. Maybe He created a brick wall. I don't know what He did. But the Holy Spirit forbade them, kept them from going into Asia. I don't know why, but He did. Sometimes it seems perfectly logical to go do something. Amen? Sometimes it seems perfectly logical. In fact, it seems godly. I mean, don't the people in Asia need the gospel? Yeah, but that's not what God's doing today. I don't mean today, but I mean in that moment, in that hour, that's not what God was doing. He had a different plan. Sometimes God got plans that not your plans. You ever had a boss who had a good idea who didn't like your good idea? Anybody ever a boss who didn't like your good idea? You know what? It might not have been because it's a bad idea. But it's not time for that. Sometimes it's not time for it. Sometimes you've got a great idea, but it's not time for it. Amen? Sometimes it's not time for it. Or you're coming up with an idea that's a fix for something that doesn't really need to be fixed because the bigger plan is going to fix the problem you're looking at. Anybody ever been pointed out to you that you're trying to fix a problem that's going to go away when we finish the job? Well, here, let's sweep up this little pile of construction rubble. Well, we're fixing to tear the ceiling out. Yeah, but I got to sweep this up. you know, I don't think it's going to help, because we're just fixing to knock the whole thing down. So don't get tunnel vision. If God doesn't like your idea, don't worry about it. Just worship Him, thank Him, praise Him. If things aren't going your way, thank Him, praise Him, worship Him. He knows exactly what He's doing. Okay, look here real quick. So in other words, they tried to go to Asia, and that wasn't God's idea. After they would come to Mysia, and they essayed, that means they tried, to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit permitted them not. Well, they came from that way, and they're trying to go that way, and then God wouldn't let them, so they had to go this way, and God wouldn't let them. And all of a sudden, then they got tired of asking, so they went to sleep. And passing Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. We never been over there before. You know, he might even take you somewhere you've never been before. You know, that was probably out of his bailiwick. You know what that means? That was out of his experience. Okay. I guess we'll go over here. I don't know anything about this place. You know, sometimes God will take you somewhere you've never been to do something you've never done, to talk to somebody you've never known. Amen? Sometimes God will just use you that way because you belong to Him. He can do whatever He wants. Amen? And what's happening is because God knows exactly what will benefit you and bless you. It's not just going to bless that person out there. It's going to bless you. Amen? Your family is who it is because God's going to bless you. God's going to show you your sin. Amen. He's using them to just expose you. You know, it's not about you and how blessed you can be. It's because God's taking care of His own. He's taking care of you. He's already said, I'm providing for you. So you don't have to worry about your provision. Doesn't matter if you're talking about in your family or in your job or in your church. You don't have to worry about that provision because you're having a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit, with God Himself. Because He says, Jesus said, I'm going to take of mine, or the Holy Spirit, He's going to take of mine and He's going to show it to you. What I've got, He's going to show it to you. He's going to reveal it to you. Jesus said, there's many things I want to share with you, but you can't bear them now. Because you didn't have the Holy Spirit. You couldn't hear. You had no understanding and no knowledge. Oh, Bob. Praise the Lord. So there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come on over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, he just hopped up in the middle of the night. Immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. So he's beginning to do that. So he's showing you that God is speaking to you. You know, God wants to speak to you the same way. Amen. I like it when he showed up and when the angel showed up in the prison and Peter was sleeping. Peter was sleeping. And the guy went, what? And his chains fell off of him. I mean, he was just, he wasn't sweating. He's asleep. He wasn't up all night wondering what's going to happen next. Amen? A little later, you know, we got, it's very interesting also. You know, you want to wonder, I'm going to finish here real quick. You want to wonder about, you know, who came first, chicken or the egg? Did I say I was going to quit or they'd get up? Which hadn't happened first? See, now if you look into this, you'll look into the story here. If you go into the beginning of, or go here where they first come into chapter 16. Let me read a little bit, a couple of verses here. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day, this is verse 11 and 12 of chapter 16 of Acts. And the next day to Neapolis. Verse 12, and there from there to Philippi, Everybody remember Philippi? You know there's a book in here? There's a book to the Philippians? You know what happens in the next chapter? In chapter 17, they end up in Thessalonica. You ever heard of the Thessalonians? And then they talk about, let's see here, the next one is they go into either Galatia. Yeah, they go into Galatia and go all over Galatia. Remember, anybody ever heard of the book of Galatians? And then in chapter 18, he says after this, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Anybody ever heard of the books of Corinthians? There's two of those. And then you go into chapter 18, or 19, and he says he came across disciples, or certain disciples who were in Ephesus. Anybody ever heard of the book of Ephesians? Well, I guess God had some ideas what he was doing. Because I think all of these books got written because he went and started churches in all these towns, in all these cities, in all these areas. The whole book. So if you obey God, maybe you'll write most of the New Testament. I don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, God's interest is in you daily having a walk with Him, so you're hearing Him. And right here, we're dealing with these things here in these chairs because. This is Hebrews 6, okay? All this down here, these chairs, remember? Last scripture, Hebrews 6. Did you ever use Hebrews 6 on the chairs? Anybody know? Does he use Hebrews 6 on the chairs? Well, I'm going to read it anyway. Don't worry about it. Chapter 6, Hebrews. Now here, picture all the chairs up here, starting out with wickedness, hypocrisy, getting past all those. Get out of hypocrisy and just go ahead and be wicked. Everybody remember how to do that? Huh? Get out of the hypocrisy chair. That is, quit trying to be good on your own. Just go ahead and be wicked and let God start you from scratch. It's kind of like that thing where you start to do something and you don't know how to do it and you just make a big mess of it. But you let the master craftsman produce it. And what usually happens on that vase, maybe he's got the vase on the table, it's running that little vase around, you know, how it goes spinning, you know, and you don't know what you're doing, you don't know how to lick it just right, and the one you came up with looks like, well, it just looks bad. You know, here, I mean, that thing is crooked as all get out. And what happens to that clay when the master gets a hold of that clay, if it's a piece like that? He mashes it, and starts over. Boy, it's good looking too when he's done. Amen? So quit trying to do number two yourself. You can't. Okay? Just go back and be number one. Because that's what God wanted to start with anyway. Because that's what's the only thing available. I said that's the only thing available. All right? So he does that. We repent. Say, okay, you got it. Good. Amen. Born again. Then begin to be transformed, rejoicing in trouble. And slowly, 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 we begin to just rejoice in those troubles. And then God begins to use you. God begins to transform you. God begins to transform your world around you. Amen? He begins to transform your world around you. Because you're worshiping Him, but praising Him. Not just because you're not just a word wonk. You know what I mean? You know what a word wonk is? Somebody, you're all about the Word. I mean, you got a Bible church people and stuff like this who just, it's all about the Word. But they never have a relationship with Jesus personally. They never pray. They never enter into the presence of God and just be like a little child. Amen? I mean, your head is just puffed up, full of knowledge. Man, you got so much Bible in there, you're going to explode. Just need to rejoice. Amen. You just need to rejoice and give thanks. Amen? All right, Hebrews 6. Now, follow these chairs. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Quit whining about the back part down here where you didn't make it and you couldn't do it and you couldn't pull it off and nobody likes you and all that kind of thing. Amen? Just go ahead and be wicked. Nobody likes you because you're wicked. There you have it. That was easy, wasn't it? And don't get all upset. You know, Well, nobody likes me. I knew, you know, I knew he was going to get to that eventually. So you took it. Now somebody said, well, the pastor doesn't like me, because I'm sitting here looking at a group of people that said, nobody likes me, and somebody's out there going, well, the pastor doesn't like me. Nonsense. I love you. But what I'm trying to do is tell you something. I'm trying to tell you something is go ahead and just be the worst thing that there is. And let God do his work, because he likes to. He wants to do that. Okay. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance, of dead works, and faith toward God, of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. This we will do. Go on. Unless we've got to slow down for somebody, you know. But listen, what I'm telling you here is that this is the basics here, folks. Let's get past these. What I'm saying, go on to perfection, what that means is go ahead and start from scratch. Start from scratch. Go ahead. Just dump everything you started out with that you had built up for so up to now. Wow, I think I'm doing pretty good. No! All the stuff you built up, just come in here and just relax and just say, Father, thank you that you love me and you're doing all this mighty work in me and you're transforming me and changing me. Thank you for the word that I have on the inside of me, and now I'm just going to worship you and praise you each day. Amen? And you're going to transform me every day. You believe that? He's going to transform you every day. Amen? Now quit looking for everyday results, I want you to know. Quit looking for everyday results. Don't be just like digging in and, you know, like I said, don't dig up the seed. That thing ain't going to grow if you keep digging it up. Just let it sit in there and let God work on you. Well, I hope you got blessed. Did you get blessed? Praise the Lord.